You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium, episode 5.5. I am your host, Michael Kist. This is all brought to you, of course, by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Look, today we get to hear Jim Schwartz talk about our boy Jalen Mills. By the way, if you missed it, bleedinggreennation.com, I posted a piece about my thoughts on Jalen Mills and the current situation with him, whether we should bench him or not. Go check that out. But for right now, we've got two press conferences. We've got Mike Rowe first, and then we're going to follow up with Jim Schwartz and his thoughts on the defense. So Mike Rowe's going to explain what's going on with the offense because they're stalling out a bit. They're struggling. Can't deny that. And then Jim Schwartz is going to talk about the struggles that are going on with the defense with this 2-3 Philadelphia Eagles team. Me and Ben will be recording tonight. That's Tuesday night for a Wednesday release. We'll be reviewing some of the film. The problem with reviewing the all 22 of this Vikings-Eagles game is that NFL Game Pass has decided to go on the fritz, and the game is completely out of order on the Game Pass app. Very hard to watch and get a good feel for the game flow and everything like that, so might have to watch some broadcast film, and we'll be talking about the offensive line, the defensive secondary struggles, all that kind of stuff, along with getting you caught up with some of the rumors and some of the shakings and movings on the roster here, potential trade targets and whatnot. So a ton of things to talk about. That's coming up soon. But for now, enjoy At the Podium 5.5.
Sorry I'm late, guys. Short week here.
Guys miss Jay, and what's the plan to kind of move on without him?
Well, I mean, Jay is a big part of what we've done, so it's a, you know, an injury that will impact us here until you know, we get the guys back out there. And Wendell is he's done a really nice job in the playing time that he's gotten thus far in the season. Really pleased with his production. He's done a nice job. Corey's progressing with his injury, and you know, we're happy with the guys that we got. We think we still have talented players to be able to you know, be really good at the running back position.
Mike, Doug's talked about the self-inflicted wounds on the plays where guys just aren't getting lined up correctly. I mean, what are you seeing there? How do you kind of eliminate those mistakes?
Well, I mean, we obviously we don't condone those kind of mistakes, and the guys that are responsible for that, you know, we've talked to those guys, and those things can't happen. I mean, they just can't happen. That's simple football, and we've got to get out of the huddle. We've got to get lined up. We've got to, you know where we're supposed to be and you know, what our assignment is. So we've got to do a better job collectively of I guess, teaching that. And then when we get out there, you know, everybody's got to know what to do and where they're supposed to line up. And just those things have to be eliminated.
What does Isaac Seumalo bring to the offensive line, particularly
the
left guard spot?
Yeah, Isaac's done. We've been talking about Isaac throughout the course of training camp. He's had strong training camp. He's played multiple positions for us. He's got a lot of athleticism. He's played with a lot of confidence. And he's able to, you know, not only hear the calls, but make calls and recognize things out there on the run. He's done a nice job and earned himself some playing time.
How much of a concern is the ball security with Carson and the fumbles, and what can you guys do to kind of eliminate that?
Well, obviously, we don't want to have any, you know, turnovers in the game, and so we got to continue to stress, you know, our pocket security in there, and we just got to do a better job all around. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that are involved with that, so we all know what they are, and we got to take care of the ball. I mean, we got an excellent defense. If we don't, you know, put them in a bad position, we know that we're going to be in each and every game and have more than our chance to win. So we got to do a good job taking care of the ball.
Last year, you guys brought Jay in like in the middle of the season. You're able to get him up to speed and everything. if you guys were to go, you know, bring in someone from the outside at running back, I mean, would you be able to do that? I know you have, like, obviously this weekend off after the game, but, you know, would that take time? Would you be able to do it?
Well, I think with any new player, regardless of who you're talking of, yeah, there's a learning curve involved, but, you know, Deuce is an outstanding teacher and did a great job of getting Jay ready last year, and Jay was able to contribute, you know, very, very early in his time here. And so, you know, we have a lot of good coaches here. You know, whatever position that might be, that's part of the job.
As confident as you are in the four running backs you have, Jay is physically a different type of running back. Can that be replaced, or do you need to adjust the running game without Jay?
Yeah, well, we're going to miss Jay's physicality for sure. So, I mean, to sit here and say that, you know, we won't miss Jay, I think, you know, isn't fair. I mean, Jay is an excellent running back, but, you know, we've gotten these guys a lot of experience. They've played in enough games to be able to go out there and play well and to be able to run our system. So we're confident what they can do.
Chemistry is a big deal along the offensive line. Did you talk to
– I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning.
Chemistry is a big deal along the offensive line. Did you speak with Jason Peters or Jason Kelce prior to making a change at guard, or were they consulted at all?
Were they consulted about a change? No, we spoke as a staff, and we're always evaluating everything ourselves, you know, each individual player and their position, how they're playing, and, you know, that's how that decision was made.
When Corey returns, could he kind of take over sort of a feature back role, or will it be more of a split rotation?
Well, you know, we're just hoping to get Corey back to being Corey. You know, he's been battling, and I know he's been working really hard these last couple weeks to get healthy, and made enough progress to be active last week. So a few more days, I think he'll be feeling a little bit better. And, you know, he's a versatile player. He's good. He really runs well between the tackles. He can be that physical style running back that we're talking about that Jay is. Plus, he's an outstanding receiver out of the backfield. So he gives us a lot of versatility back there.
When you talk about pass protection as a whole, how much different does it make for the guys up front when you have a quarterback willing to extend plays, willing to hold on to the ball a little bit longer?
How much difference does it make? Yeah. In what kind of way?
As far as pass protection, as far as for the guys up front, the offensive line,
right.
Is there a big difference when you have a quarterback who's willing to try to extend plays?
You mean in the pocket or outside the pocket? Well, I mean, we know that Carson you know, he's tough as nails, and he'll hang in that pocket and, you know, give the guys every chance to make plays down the field and get open. So, you know, they don't have an egg timer in their head up front in terms of, you know, how long they're blocking. They know that they got to strain their gut to the echo of the whistle, and I think that they know that. And then with his ability to get out and extend plays, I mean, that's unique. And, you know, so I think that they love that, the fact that he can get himself out of trouble.
Run pass ratio and just stepping back and looking at it from a big picture point of view.
Yeah, we all know that we want to be balanced, and we know that we're a very effective running team, and you know, circumstances dictate the calls, you know, each and every week. You know, sometimes you get off track of maybe what you intended to play the game, and you know, that goes back to starting and scoring earlier, which keeps the run more involved. But we did a lot last week where we came out in the second half and run the ball right down the field. And we know that we need to be balanced, and we know that we're at our best when we are balanced. So there's certainly a conversation about that.
Along those lines, is having a pretty impressive season. Have you noticed the defense is adjusting to kind of the amount of targets that he's getting?
Well, I mean, I think that if you're preparing for the Eagles, that you're aware of where Zach is. So I wouldn't say that, you know, there's anything that we're seeing that we wouldn't have expected. And, you know, we do our due diligence, too, to try to put him in position to help him so that we can keep him out of those circumstances.
Following up on it, you mentioned the slow starts. I think you guys have 3 touchdowns in the first half this year in 5 games. When you look at film, what are you seeing different early than you're seeing in the second half when you guys have been more productive?
You know, we've talked about some of the self-inflicted you know, issues that we've had. So I don't know. It's as much about us as about who we're playing, and we have to eliminate those. And that's something that we're all evaluating. You know, myself, I'm looking at ourselves. The coaches, we're having those kind of conversations. What can we be doing better? Is it scheme? You know, is it an, you know, as simple as an alignment error? Those kinds of things that put you behind the chains that make it harder to get drives generated. So we're looking at everything, and we know that it's not what we want it to be, and we're going to keep working, and we're going to get it done.
And my follow-up to that, in terms of situational football, red zone, third downs, even starting games, how much are you looking at Monday to Saturday, and what could be adjusted in terms of the game plan?
How much are we looking at?
At the game planning and what you can do preparation-wise as opposed to what's just happening on the field.
Well, I mean, we're preparing for the situations, you know, throughout the course of each week based on the day. I mean, that's how it's kind of set up with your first and second down emphasis on Wednesday, and then Thursday is your third down, and then Friday is your red zone. So, you know, that system is in place and that routine is in place for us. So, I mean, we're evaluating those situations each and every week and who we're playing and what their tendencies are. And we're putting those game plans together, you know, each night. And we haven't had the success that we would like. You know, we've really done a nice job in most of these games of driving the ball between the 20s. But we're not getting the points that we want. We're not finishing the drives the way that we want. We expect to. So, again, it goes back to evaluating the scheme. Is it scheme related? Is it, you know, self-inflicted wounds? Is it, you know, a physical error, which, you know, all those things happen. And it's a combination of everything, I think, sometimes. I mean, we've had, obviously, there's been instances where all of us could say, I wish we had done something a little bit better.
You mentioned Carson being tough as nails. Like, is there any concern with a bigger guy like that's willing to hang in the pocket and take hits that the kind of the collective absorption that takes its toll on a guy's body like that?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to see him taking any undue hits. I mean, nobody wants to see their quarterback taking more hits than is necessary. So, sure. I mean, we're always concerned. It wouldn't matter whether it be Carson or anybody else back there playing for us. We want to keep him upright. And, you know, that's he can help himself sometimes with that too. And knowing, you know, when to fold them, I guess. But it's, again, it's not just one guy. It's all of us involved with that. And we don't want him to take any more hits than necessary.
Third down, given the success that you guys had last year on third down, especially third and long, are you seeing defenses attack you any differently in those situations?
Well, I mean, I think that we probably had unprecedented success in that third and long situation. To sustain that is very challenging. And we need to do better there. But we need to try to keep ourselves out of that position more often. We're finding ourselves in that position too frequently. So we need to do better on first and second down and put ourselves in more manageable third down situations.
Jason Kelsey said after the game that games up front were giving the offensive line a lot of trouble. Why do you think that is? What's been the issue there?
I don't know. I mean, Jason's as good as there is in terms of communication and making the line calls. You know, those guys have played a long time together, and I wouldn't say that they're having a significant amount of trouble with those things. So I'm not quite sure where he was going with that. You probably have to ask Jason for more clarification on that one.
All right, thanks, Ed. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
What's the coaching point to Michael Bennett and the pass rushers after the play
today? You know, that's a really unfortunate play. And I think for the most part this year, we've been able to avoid plays like that. We coach guys to try to stay in the strike zone. But sometimes they're going to be pushed off their feet. Sometimes they're not. Our coaching point when they are off their feet is to try to swipe the leg and not have forcible contact. I mean, I think that's a judgment call whether that was forceful or not. I know we can bring a lot more force than that. And Mike was trying to do the right thing. Obviously, that was a big play in the game. Sometimes you're going to get a foul when you're not trying to. Sometimes there's going to be a guy that's going to hit the quarterback in the head because he ducks the head. There's strict liability on defense. It's tough, tough situation, but we got to deal with it.
Wasn't the strike zone, though, above the knee and kind of on the guy's thigh?
It's not up to us to officiate. It's up to us to play to the officiating. And like I said, I think we've done a pretty good job all year of avoiding situations like that. We've seen some around the league. This one bit us a little bit. It was a big play in that game. We got to go from a sack and, potentially either getting them out of field goal range or holding them to a field goal to moving the ball and a touchdown
you know, there's probably half a dozen plays you could point to as a play of the game, and that was one of them. You know, he's trying his best to get the quarterback on the ground. He's not trying to get a foul right there.
What did you think Avante Maddox did?
Brought some energy to us. It shows great range. You know, he picked things up extremely quick. But I said that last week. When you play the nickel position, you basically play a safety position for us. You know, and then, you know, when Corey got hurt early in that game, that really changed the dynamic of how much he was going to play. He was up for it. You know, I think if the end of the game went a little bit different, you'd point to that play that when we had him backed up, we went for the sack. I mean, I got aggressive with a call right there and put the corner on an island. They were able to complete the pass. I mean, I was going for the sack, strip, touchdown, safety, whatever it was, and we were inches away. This is a game of inches. Anyway, corner got beat. Avante did a great job controlling that situation, slowed that guy down, and that was probably 4 points on that play. Got him slowed down, and that's a tough play to make in the middle of the field like that. Like I said earlier in the week, those are two talented receivers with the ball in their hand, and I thought that was a sign of good things from Avante.
Obviously, you put him there because of necessity, but what's his ceiling in that position, and could that be a position for him long term?
Yeah, you know, we like corners that are safeties that have corner in the background. You know, he's not ideal size, but he is ideal quickness and range and, you know, eyes for the football, the things we liked from him as a nickel. We also like from him as a safety. You know, we'll see going forward. I mean, that's where we are right now.
Speaking of the quarterback getting beaten, how would you rate Jalen's play other than that play?
You know, Jalen's made a lot of plays for him. That first third down stop, gets his hand on balls, plays great technique. I put the play he gave up, I put that more on me than him. I mean, I put him on a big island, you know, and we were aggressive there. We had him backed up. We needed a momentum change. We had just fumbled the ball. You know, we're trying to get the sack. We're inches away from doing that. Quarterback put it up. You know, I mean, it's one of those things when you're a corner, you're going to get beat. I thought he bounced back well from that within the game and battled and, you know, did all the things a corner's going to do. But, you know, I think it's just life as a corner. If you make a mistake, if you give up a play, it's there for everybody to see. You can't hide it. Where linebacker, defensive lineman, you know, anybody else that makes a mistake, you know, it might go unnoticed. That's just the hat that those guys wear, and they can't lose confidence because they give up a play.
There's a running theme, though. When he...
more in control? I mean, does he have to maybe play just a little bit more in control with his emotions?
His emotions?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it looked like he was maybe a little out of control toward the end of that game.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I mean, it's a competitive game, and you want guys to be competitive. You want guys to, you know, to keep their energy up and things like that. I mean, that stuff goes on a million times on the sideline, whether it's one group talking to another, a player talking to another. That's not an unusual situation. I like the fact that he was combative, that he was, you know, getting back. The one thing you don't want from a corner is shell-shocked, and, you know, Jalen's never been that way.
Defensive tackle is not really a numbers position. Are you getting enough out of Destiny when he's out there?
I think just across the board, I'd say we need more production from our D-line in general, our entire defense in general. We're playing a lot of games that come down to one play, and we've been one play short. We need somebody, whether it's Destiny, whether it's, you know, whoever, Fletch, Jordan Hicks, Nigel Bradham, Malcolm Jenkins, you know, we need to find a way to get that one more play. And there's a fine line there between pressing, trying to do too much, and just doing your job. Sometimes plays don't come to those guys. Sometimes, you know, runs don't come to them, and you might not notice. A guy might not get a tackle, but he's in the right spot, and somebody else gets a tackle. So we're worried about our whole defense being efficient, not really the production of one player. If our defense can make that one extra play a game, that'll put us over the top. That's what we're looking for.
You mentioned specific type of things with Jalen a couple of minutes ago. How would you assess his overall game against the Vikings?
Yeah, you guys know I never do that in the media. I think he did play with good technique. I think that part of that, like I said, I was very aggressive in that call. And that puts corners on an island. And, you know, that's a little bit of the cost of doing business with corners. Not going to make every one of those plays. we recognize that. But I'd rather take that and know that we were aggressive and we went after the quarterback right there and they made the play rather than us, than have laid back there and tried to bleed it out, particularly at that point in the game.
They were getting the ball out quick. Kirk was getting it out quick. That's sort of a trait of Eli at this point as well. How do you kind of stop that? Because those quick throws in the yards after the catch.
Yeah, well, I think that's you're right on it. It's the yards after the catch. The quick throws aren't the things that get you. And I think in the when you look back at the Vikings, it wasn't that they were getting those catches. They were a lot of times catching the ball for 1 yard gain, 0 yard gain when they were throwing the ball out there. It's the run after the catch. It's limiting that. There's some scheme stuff that I can help those guys with. I thought late in the game we made some good adjustments. There's a play on our sideline where Malcolm and Darby had a very short pass, and they triangulated the guy and made a really good play. But there's some stuff I can do to help them. But, you know, sometimes, that there's a method behind the offense. You know, they're throwing those quick passes. They're trying to get you up to, you know, take that. And there's some discipline that goes along with that. We got to be a good tackling team. They have some guys that can run after to catch Odell Beckham, obviously, and Barkley. Barkley's, you know, a lot of times like a wide receiver, and he's a guy that can get 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, and then all of a sudden break one for, you know, 38 or, you know, 60 or whatever he can do. He's a big play guy. We're going to have to do a good job tackling him. And he catches a lot of short passes out of the backfield. Looks a little different than the wide outs, but he catches short passes and screens and stuff like that. And he has the ability to break it if we're not 100% where we're supposed to be.
Jim, what's the challenge you face in getting them physically ready in such a short period of time?
Yeah, you know, when it's a short week, Monday never feels right. You never feel like you're into almost a Thursday. You know, today you never feel like you're right. But by the time we get to tomorrow night, we get at the stadium. I mean, we get at the hotel. We have our Saturday night meetings. It feels like a Saturday to the players. And then they gas it up on Thursday night. I mean, you can go on fumes for a game. I mean, it's hard to go play on short rest for multiple weeks in a row, but we don't have to. We got to do it this one time. So we did it last year on the road at Carolina. Some similar situations. We had some injury situations, and we're able to get that energy going. I think that our players know what time it is. They know how important this game is.
You talked about Fletcher Cox's leadership. He said he was just being a good teammate there, trying to get Jalen to move on to kind of the next play. Do you like seeing that out of him, and is that an example of that leadership?
Yeah, I think Fletcher's really stepped his leadership up this year, and that comes along with being a great player. That's him. You know, Fletch is one of those guys. He can play with emotion, but he seems like he always has a smile on his face. Other guys are a little bit different. Everybody has a little different personality. We certainly embrace that. But it means a lot when players step in and recognize things and take steps to address things. I think that that's certainly a sign of good leadership. If it gets them before it gets to the coaches, I think that's certainly a good sign. All right, guys.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all Flyers, all the time show, so much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.